Pray for the message and ask God to talk to us a little bit today. Lord, I ask that you would be with us and that you would take the words that I speak and then fill them with your spirit so they would be a word of understanding in the midst of our life as a church, but also our lives as individuals as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about transitions for this week and especially next week too. Before we move on to more what I call random thoughts of the Bible, but I'm talking about transitions because, well, we're in it. As a congregation, we're moving into a new season, and with me now in a new position as transitional pastor, my job is to give direction and illumination and revelation to us as a congregation in transition. And I include myself in this equation, by the way, because as far as I'm concerned, this is the church I belong to, and I wish to help grow as God's people. And we are in transition, and we are changing leadership during 2020. So I am speaking to you not only as your transitional pastor, but also as a teaching elder of this church and as a person who consider myself as part of this church in the future. Another thing about many of the messages that I've delivered on Sunday and Bible studies and also conducting ministry in my life is that I've always used the Bible to show me how to live in this life personally and also lead you folks as a church. And one of the Velcro sayings that I've used over the years is, you're not really a Christian until you start reading the Bible as autobiography because it's your story. And what I mean by that is that the Bible gives us many stories and pictures that speak to our lives and give us direction for our lives. And the Bible, in many ways, is an autobiography of my story, your story personally, our story as a church. The Bible guides me in that kind of stuff. Which brings me to the topic of the day as we face transition in our church life. Changing of the guard is the title of this message, which is a saying that is related to the changing of leadership in the context of our church. And next year at this time, there's a good chance that you will be under the pastoral care, prayer covering, and ministry leadership of a new pastor. The Lord also wants to show us a pathway of possession of our future as a congregation as well during this time. And I think that one of the greatest challenges that can face any congregation is knowing when the Lord wants to work a new thing in them and then responding to what the Lord wants to work. And we have come to such a time. The scripture that speaks to our story is in Joshua chapter 1. I have verses 1 to 9 printed, and I'd like for us to read it together. And it's going to guide us a little bit today, maybe even next week. Here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord wants to do a new thing in us. And behold, it's already springing forth. We are advancing on a leadership change for the purpose of accommodating future ministry that the Lord is giving us. So the book of Joshua will be our guide today because it is a book about leadership change and possessing a future. It's a book about how God took a group of people and fashioned them into an army to possess their inheritance. It's a book about possessing the promises that God has made to us as we partner with Him in this time. It's a book where the people of Israel establish their identity and purpose in the land. Our life as a church actually kind of parallels this story, and it's part of our autobiography as we begin to possess our future and the promises God has for us. But even as I speak about this as a congregation, there's always an individual message for each of us. What future does God want to partner with you about so that you can possess your future? Now, we may be in this first chapter of Joshua for a couple weeks, and I'm going to interpret it for us collectively as a congregation, but I also will show you the individual application for your life as well. The first thing we need to look at is the leadership difference, the changing of the guard, you might say, as the person Joshua moves into Moses' role and position. And the Lord said to Joshua, He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now say that with me. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now we can relate to this story as a church. Now I'm not dead yet. At least I don't think I am. But there is a certain sense in which I'm done as your head pastor. Now, when the death of Moses happened, it signaled a couple things to these people. It was the passing of Israel's greatest leader, historical leader, and secondly, it opened up the possibility of something that they have never known before. They were going to go into their future, and there was going to be a leadership change that took them there. Moses was not able to lead these people into the land because his leadership was ended, and because of a failure of his own, he was not there to be there for them because of that limitation. So Joshua is moving into this role of leadership. Now listen to me, because this is important. Joshua is not a better man. He is just a different man. And this changing leadership is a good illustration of what goes on in the development of our own lives and also our life as a church. The Lord has willed that we should always individually and as a church be moving to a different place. Glory to glory, you might say. And God is constantly in the process of changing us. If we're following Him more and more into His image, but your tendency is like mine. We all have this kind of tendency to settle down where we are, where we're comfortable, and that is in the comfort, of past revelation, of past glory, to become comfortably secure in our past experience with God. The problem we have is that God moves into our lives and He says this, okay, it's time to get up and move again. I have more things for you to see and to do. I'm moving you from one point of glory to a new point of glory. And He starts pulling on our sleeves and He says, all right, let's go. We each have to come to the point where we're willing to die to the past so that God could open up the new things of our future. And sometimes it is really hard to die to the past. We want to hold on to the security of God's leadership in our past. But today he may be wanting to say to you, it is time for new things that I have for you. And it may be collective, but it also can be very individual. I know he is saying that to us collectively as a church, but he is also saying that to me. And we are actually in this together. And it is personal to me as well. And with the passing of Moses, there was a time of mourning and grieving in Israel, and in the passing of some things that you hold dear, priceless experiences, there is grieving. But sometimes we need to let go of those times so that the Lord can work new things in our lives. And it's not that these times or ways are bad in themselves any more than Moses was bad. It's just the time for changes necessary for the possession of their future at that point had to happen. Moses' leadership was not destructive to these people. His leadership was not damaging to these people, but there came a time for new things. And there comes a time for the leadership change and the passing of Moses and the rise of Joshua, and that is the changing of the guard, so to speak. Moses' name means the one who draws them out. He was drawn out of the bulrushes, and he is the one who drew the people of Israel out of Egypt. His name is the picture of his glory. His name is what God used him for. And Moses is the one who delivered them out of Egypt, out of the world, and he delivered them. And the Lord gives us the experience of bringing us out of the world where we've been in the past. God is our deliverer. But he has not just saved us by his son Jesus to bring us out of the world, but he also wants us to bring us into the kingdom living that he has for us. And that was the ministry that Joshua was supposed to have, if you read the book. The ongoing ministry of Joshua was to bring them into their inheritance so that they could possess their inheritance and their future. Now, Joshua means Savior. And Joshua is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is in an ongoing ministry of saving us. He saved us out of the world. He is saving us from the world and from Satan and from our own sinful nature. And he will work his saving deliverance towards our future for all eternity. Now, with the passing of Moses and the rising of Joshua, there's also a personal and corporate picture here of the release from past points. Past points of failures in our lives, past points of limitations, prohibitions. You know, we can do strange things to ourselves. Some of us come to points in our lives of self-imposed limitations. We say things like, you know, I couldn't do that. I can't even picture myself doing that. And Moses was stopped from crossing the river. And so in our lives, there are points of limitations. And we say things like that for whatever reason. And the Lord comes and he says, the reason that season of your life is dead and we need to move on. And tell me, what do you need to acknowledge is finished and past personally in your life? What past glory do you need to let go of so that you can move on to the new glory that the Lord wants to work in you personally? What in your past is holding you back? You know, the people of Israel never did find where God buried Moses. I wonder how many people there are of us that the Lord is trying to take us from some point of former glory or some point of former experience in our life. And you know what we do? We wander around looking for it and wondering where God buried it. These people could have wandered through the hillsides on the eastern side of the Jordan from that day until today and never found their former glory because the good old days were gone. And in this case, that former glory was the leadership of Moses. Now, I wonder how many of us there are who have come to know, well, glorious things of God in our lives or his actions in our lives, in our past, through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he brings us out of the world, you might say, but we are reluctant to live in the saving grace of Jesus, which brings us into the kingdom living of our future. We don't actually have the same glorious things that we have experienced anymore, but we wander around looking to recapture the glory, and what the Lord is saying to us, forget it. I buried it, and you can't find it. That past is dead. I buried it, and now I am calling you to a new time. Now, there's a collective picture there for us, but there's also an individual picture for us. The Lord God is wanting to lead each of us by his Son, Jesus, into a new time. I hope I've communicated this clearly enough so that by the Holy Spirit, you can find points in your own personal life that relate to this story. Moses, my servant, is dead, and this story of Moses and Joshua and the changing of leadership relates to us as a congregation as well. When I read this scripture, I can see how it speaks to us as a congregation. This changing leadership is a clear picture to us as well. And I need to explain it to you so that you can see where we are plainly and where we are going as a people. Friends, I am no longer the pastor of this church. I am the interim transitional pastor of this church. The leadership of this church, in theory, changed 2 weeks ago at the end of December. But in reality, even before that, when you accepted my resignation in October, and the leadership of this church, in reality, changed in October of last year. And just as Moses was mourned by the people of Israel as the leadership changed, some of you mourn the passing of my leadership as the pastor of this church. Now, I'm not going to worry about those who are rejoicing at my passing, but they're out there as well. Let me tell you, I know them. That mourning was expressed in many ways like this. You know, I heard these kind of, I don't want anyone else coming to see me in the hospital but you, Jack. I thought, well, I hope you don't go to the hospital. or somebody would say, I'm afraid that as we get bigger, get past this time, you're not going to have time for me. And I've heard somebody else, I don't care who comes in. I don't think I can see anybody else being my pastor but you. And the comments like that. And some that were not expressed except in the heart. And they are, in fact, mourning of you, of a passing of former glory in our past. It's grief. You see leadership to change in order for us to move to another place in terms of God's glory for us. Things have to happen. Now, not only that, but understand I'm also in this with you. This flesh is weak up here. I've been doing this for 48 years come this June, and the turning of the wheel of time is real. I know that there is slippage in this guy up here. Now, you may not notice it, but I do. You're not around in that first hour when I get up in the morning. Things begin to fall between the cracks. Also, I've noticed that too. The truth is, I knew last summer that you were going to bury that former glory by changing leadership, or you were going to bury me physically. Either way, that time is past. This past year, I came to recognize the changing times and really came home to roost as we went through this transitional thinking as a congregation in the last 2 years. And accepting the change of leadership is not easy. Not so for this Moses either, for that matter. And suddenly I find myself adjusting to the change of being transitional. an interim pastor. And in a sense, I guess I have caught myself looking for the body of Moses myself, so to speak. But the Lord showed me that the former glory was dead and buried, and I wasn't going to be able to find it either, let alone resurrect it. And I've had to deal with all kinds of weird feelings, and I still am. I've been your pastor for 21 years, and I have pastored a church for 48 years, and suddenly one Sunday, all that changed. It actually devastated me. I have experienced fear and anger and depression and insecurity and probably 100 other emotional feelings in the midst of this, and I've never experienced anything like this before because I've never been here before. I've never been a retired pastor before. I've never had to make the kind of adjustments I was called to make and still keep my sanity. Not only that, but we're going to have a new person come in here. And this person is going to have to adjust to a new environment and having the ghost of the previous pastor hanging around. Now, I can only guess at some of the things this person will have to adjust to as he or she moves here, and also to keep his sanity and work in a new church, which may not be an easy thing to do. I want to speculate with you just for a few minutes and imagine the new pastor for a couple of minutes. Whoever it is who comes in here will be making adjustments in the way that he sees the world based upon who we are as a congregation and who that he is as a person. And the reality of all that change may be devastating at times to that person too. I remember when I came here from Kentucky, there were huge adjustments that I had to make in the way that I was going to pastor Woodland Chapel from what I had been doing down in Kentucky. And I kind of equated it at like the time when Bernard and I were having our first child. Now, you can prepare all you want, but when that kid hits the scene, boy, it changed everything. Changing pastorates and moving also reminded me of getting married. You can talk about marriage all you want, but there is nothing like the experience to bring you to the realization of a real change in relationship. A change in the way you see the world. And God said to me, "Hear me, Moses, my servant, is dead." And it was the time of Joshua. It was a change of ministry leadership back 21 years ago. Not long ago, another picture was given to me as to how change causes us to adjust. You know, when Michelle laid down her ministry of leading worship and Dion picked up the mantle and became our worship leader with Lori's help, I've watched the worship team as they have been adjusting to the change of leadership. They have to learn new pathways. They're still learning to work together as a team. It takes time. I was also involved in this change because I am learning to work with and mesh with the change in leadership as well. These folks up here not only need to be in tune, but they also have to be in tune playing and singing together. In other words, they had to learn how to sing the same song, you might say, at the same time. Changing of the guard has to do with learning how to sing the same song, so to speak. Now, we're working on that in terms of our pastoral leadership right now. We have to be in tune, and we have to learn how to play the new song that God is giving us together. And we have to make sure that we're all singing the same song. But Moses, my servant, is dead. It's time for a new ministry of Joshua, whoever that turns out to be. And I'm just actually standing up here. I'm not preaching to you. I'm just talking to you about what I've been seeing and what I've been understanding out of this. Anyway, I hope that you can see how this scripture applies to us congregationally, but also individually. We're definitely in this season of Joshua and the changing of the guard. And what does that mean? Well, it means a leadership change, change of style. Friends, and I can call you friends, we haven't even begun to taste what the Lord has for us. You see, the Lord is in the process of reworking us as well. The leadership style is going to be different because the Lord is about to bring us to a new thing. Moses was a shepherd. He took care of the sheep for 40 years in the wilderness, and it was good training because then the Lord told him to shepherd people for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was a shepherd of sheep and people. Joshua was a military leader, by the way. The Lord had made him general of the Lord's people to possess their future. And this is the season of Joshua for us. And there's a shift in the leadership style coming to match this season of our life as a church. Now, I have at least one more message on transition before we move on to topics concerning our faith. But I am doing this right now because we need to consider our journey into the future as God decides who will be our leader as he is in the process of changing the guard around here. Lord God has set before us a growing and changing ministry. Friends, God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead, and we cannot bank upon our past as a church. You personally, me either for that matter. The Lord is setting before us a leadership change. The past is past. The changing of the guard is part of God's plan to lead us as a future in a church." God also promises the same thing that he did with Joshua. He told Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with you." And God affirms this to us as well. He says to us, "As I was with you in the past, so I will be with you in the future." And that is the good news. The best is yet to come. Now, the Lord is calling us as a church to a different kind of time. The Lord is reordering us. He's going to be reworking us as a congregation to be a different church in some form or fashion. Lord God is growing us. He is going to extend our understanding of his work in us as a people. We cannot bank on our past, and the Lord is setting a new leadership style for us. There's a word for us this day. It's changing leadership of ministry during this time. And the cover of your bulletin is an important promise for all of us to remember, for us to remember as a church, but also as individuals. So let us just read it together. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future. May the word become flesh and dwell among us." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that as we move into our future, whether we're talking about collectively as a church or as individuals or as family, that you would walk with us and that we would walk with you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.